of me. Question was asked then, what did the aircraft do? The reply was this: we experienced a complete loss. Those are the words. A complete loss of forward momentum. We stopped climbing. Listen to me. We experienced a complete loss of forward momentum. We stopped climbing. As we start 2012, your and my life is supposed to be progressing. We are supposed to be increasing, the scripture says, more and more. There is supposed to be something in our life, like Mark chapter 4, verse 28 and 29 says, that the Word of God produces this way. It says, when you plant the Word of God in the soil of your heart, just like you plant seed in the soil of the ground, when you plant it, it will start growing. It will bring forth, the scripture says, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear, then the harvest. It'll start coming up, the blade, then you're going to start seeing, let's say, a corn stalk. Then the corn stalk gets full, grows, has maturity. Then there's several, four, five, or six individual ears of corn on a corn stalk, ready for the harvest. That's how your my life is supposed to grow in every area of my life. With my marriage, with peace, with healing, with joy, with provision, whatever it is I'm dealing with, I am supposed to be increasing. He says here, Sully, the captain, experienced a complete loss of momentum and climbing. If your life is lost all momentum, if your life has lost all altitude and climbing, you need to look at and make adjustments. Amen. We're not supposed to go, we're not supposed to finish the year with the same altitude we started the year. We're not supposed to finish the year less momentum than we entered the year. The scripture talks about three things where it uses the same words. It says this: going from faith to faith, going from glory to glory, and going from strength to strength. From faith to faith. So let me challenge you this year. Listen to me. Let me challenge you this year that this year, and I believe these 21 days were set in the state. Come back tonight at 6 o'clock. We're just going to have corporate prayer. We're going to be praying for the lost and for other people in the region that we want to get saved. Come on. We're believing that both of our services are doubling. Come on, everybody. Doubling. We're believing that. You're here. We're so excited you're here. So you just need to help us bring friends and increase people to come to encourage people to come to church, that they receive the power and the love of God, receive the benefit of walking in forgiveness and having the life of Christ in them. But our life is supposed to grow from faith to faith, meaning this: I want to demand this year that my level of spiritual growth increases. I'm going to demand that. I'm going to demand my faith increases this year. That I'm going to put myself in some situations that I'm just going to have to believe God. I don't want to have to try to figure it all out naturally and just let nature take its course. My faith is going to have to grow. We're supposed to go, the scripture says, from faith to faith. The second thing, it says you and I are supposed to go from glory to glory. So this year, I'm going to put a demand on my life, on my spiritual life, that the presence of God, the goodness of God, the glory of God, the love of God works through my life in a greater way. I don't want to have the same momentum I have right now. I don't want to have the same climb or altitude I have right now. I want more of God working in me. How about you? Can somebody help me? Just say amen. And it says, thirdly, the scripture says this: we're supposed to go from strength to strength. From strength to strength. Not strength and crash and burn and strength. No, strength to strength. The strength I have needs to increase to some more strength. So this year, how about you and I place a demand on our life that all the pressure, all the problems, and all the pains maybe that have held us back, have limited us, don't limit us this year. That we increase, we grow, we surpass what we have up until now, and we can handle some more stuff. Come on, everybody. How are you going to get stronger, you know, if you're starting to run? You know, you're going to have to go to the gym and, you know, where it was you used to do a mile. You set the meter or whatever there. Set it for a mile and a quarter. Set it for a mile and a half. If you're running this, you know, 4.8 miles per hour, you set it at 5 miles per hour. There's a girl, man, I work out at LA Fitness about 4 or 5 days a week. And I know you can't tell, but that's okay. I'm working on it. I'm going from strength to strength. Just a little strength right now. There's this lady, and I've talked to her, come just kind of, because I looked and I said, "Would you please slow down?" Because when I'm on the treadmill, I just kind of like walk, and I walk fast, and I kind of jog a little bit. She doesn't jog. She runs. I mean, she's got that thing. She's got real short legs. And she's, and I said, "Slow down. I'm scared." I mean, I told her, "I'm scared you're going to fall." She runs so fast, and she does, and then, you know, she's like one of those ladies that she can stop and talk to you, and no, you know, not out of breath, like, "Hey, how you doing?" And I'm like, I'm walking, I'm, I know, listen to me, I know she didn't get there overnight. I know she didn't get there overnight. I want my life that I can handle and have forward momentum and have altitude regardless of what happens in my life this year. I can go from strength to strength. You can too. We can go from faith to faith. We can go from glory to glory this year. Katie Couric asked Captain Sully this question next. How did you take control of the airplane? How did you take control of the aircraft? His reply was this. I put my hand on the side stick per protocol and I said, "My aircraft. My aircraft." Which the co-pilot said, "Your aircraft." Listen to me. I hear that and I get chill bumps right now just thinking about it. Because I look at that and I just say, in Jesus' name, I am done complaining, griping, moaning, crying, whining about my life, about what's not going on, about my skin color, my age, my weight, where I was born, who my mama was or wasn't, if my daddy left me or he didn't, if I was an alcoholic or I wasn't. I'm tired of complaining. I'm going to take the stick of my life and say, I am in charge. In the name of Jesus, this plane is going to fly. I am going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to go where God wants me to go. I'm going to be who God wants me to be. Come on. If nobody in my family went to school, I am going to school. I am going to graduate. I am going to be a success. I am going to fulfill the will of God. You got to take the stick of life, quote unquote, and say, I am going to be everything God wants me to be. I'm not going to be an NBA basketball player because white men can't jump. But I am. But I am going to be a successful husband. I am going to be an awesome dad. I am going to be a successful pastor. I am going to fully accomplish the will of God. What are you going to do? Come on, what are you going to do? Well, I don't know if I want to take the stick. Then, honey, listen to me. Your plane isn't going to make it to the runway. Take the stick. Per protocol. God gave you a life. Now you take it and put that word in your heart and renew your mind and say, I don't care if anybody had it in my family, I'm going to have it. I don't care if there's no believers in my family, I'm a believer. I'm going to be the first and I'm going to break the curse that's been in my generations forever and ever. We are going to serve God. As for me and my house, we are going to serve God. Can you say amen? Amen. Yeah, I just like it. So we did a series several weeks ago that's out of 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. It says this, whatever's born of God overcomes the world. Whatever's born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. What? Even your faith. So whatever's born of God, you're born of God, you are expected to overcome the world. You're born of God, so when negative situations come, as you get off the runway of life and you believe God in your marriage and you marry that man or you marry that woman or you start that career, you're on that destination for whatever it is, and there will be storms, baby. Birds are going to hit your aircraft. But you're going to have to take the charge. You're going to have to take that stick and you're going to have to say, in Jesus' name, we're going to make it and we're going to land this baby. Over in the book of Joshua, look there real quick, Joshua chapter 1. Look in your Bible or maybe on your phone if you've got the Bible or your iPad. Or if you don't, just look on the screen behind us. Joshua chapter 1. Notice what it says in verse 6. We'll read several scriptures here. Set the stage. It says that Moses is dead. God actually tells Joshua that. It's really funny. It's really funny that it records that in the Bible. Oh, by the way, Moses is dead. That's the guy with the 10, you know, all the 10 plagues and the Red Sea parting and manna coming and quails coming and water coming out of rocks. I mean, phenomenal signs and wonders happen with his life. And Joshua's been there all the time. And now he's dead. And Joshua's in charge. and he's seen the stuff, and he's been around it long enough, but now, you know, he's the man. You want to be the man until you're the man. Everybody wants to be the man until you're the man. And verse 6 says this, God tells him, be strong and of good courage. Would you say that with me? Be strong and of good courage. Notice verse 7. He tells him again, only be strong and very courageous. Would you say that with me? Only be strong and very courageous. Notice verse 9. God comes to him one more time. And he says, have I not commanded you? Notice what he says. Be strong and of good courage. Can you say that? Be strong and of good courage. This year, listen to me, I can tell you straight up, the second week, second Sunday of the new year, you are going to have courage in your life to land your plane. You're going to have courage. This is your life. You can win. You can fulfill the will of God. Listen to me, but it's going to take courage. You're going to have to stand in the face of the mirror. Forget the devil. The mirror. And you're going to have to summon courage in you when you want to duck, tuck, and run. Let me tell you what. There's going to be some things in your life that happen this year. And I'm not a prophet of doom. I'm not standing on the street corner with the sign that says, repent, turn, or burn. I don't think that helps anybody. But I want to be man and man enough to you today as your pastor and say, there's going to be some things that happen to you. It might happen as you leave church and you get a phone call that are going to make you where your face goes flush, your stomach comes up, you don't know exactly what to do, and you're going to be glad you heard the message. You can navigate any storm. If you'll resist fear, resist the temptation to quit, resist any issue to say, you take the lead. No, you grab the stick of your life and you hang on and say, buddy, I'm talking to you in the mirror. You are going to be strong and you are going to act courageously and you are going to do the will of God and you are going to see the glory of God in this situation. Yeah. I don't know what's happening at you, what's coming at you, but I know, again, greater is He who's in you than he who's in the world. And so your plane can land. Your family can land. Your marriage can land. Your child training can land with those crazy kids. Say, I ain't coming to church. You drag those little heinies to church. And you say, you're going to come to church. Come on. I'm one of those heinies that got drugged week after week. And look what the Lord did, huh? We drag our kids to church. They're too big to drag, so we lock them in a closet. No, I don't know what we do, but they come willingly, huh? Thank God. Your kids will start seeing the goodness of God. You get God working in your family. Get God working in your house, right? Start seeing what's happening. All right. The question then came this, you know, this, and we're taking some time in here. She said, what'd you do next? You know, you took the control of the aircraft. What'd you do next? He said this, I tried to relight the engines and that didn't work. Then I went to the auxiliary engine that we have there, and that didn't work. And we realized nothing worked. Now, what I like about this guy is that after nothing worked, he didn't look at the co-pilot and say, ah! Nothing's working! Nothing's working! I'm glad the brother was calm. So, listen, just because what you tried to do didn't work right now, it doesn't mean quit. It doesn't mean quit. A businessman told me one time, he was talking about specifically the business that he was in and looking at somebody else, another company, that was being more successful than him. And he shared a principle with me that I'll never forget. He said this, I've come to realize if I am in the same business as this competitor, business scenario now, and they're successful and I'm not, there's only one of two things that can be happening. Number one, they know something I don't know. Or number two, they are doing something I am not doing. So listen to me. Let's bring it to you and me. If you look at somebody who's been through a tragedy, been through a situation, whatever it is, alcoholism, divorce, death of a child, and you've experienced the very same thing, and they are, came out the other side, and they are full of joy, and they are full of gladness, and they've got the victory, and you don't, We can say one of two things. They know something you don't know, or they are doing something you're not doing. And listen to me. Both those things you can change. I can change. He didn't cry. He didn't moan. He didn't throw up his hands. He said, there's got to be a way. There's got to be a way to land this plane. There's just got to be a way. There's a great scripture, a couple of passages. They're in the last two books of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 27, it talks about Paul. He's going to Rome. God told him, you're going to go to Rome. You're going to testify before Caesar. He knew that. God didn't tell him all the stuff, let's say it this way, all the hell that was going to go with it while he was going. He didn't say that his plane was going to get hit by birds, quote unquote, as he was going. His bird hitting the plane scenario was 14 days of hell on a ship when a northeastern hurricane came up out of the water and almost destroyed the ship. The Bible says the sailors threw everything overboard. All the sails were down. They were being driven by the wind for 14 days. Guys were puking. Sailors were going, we're going to die. Paul says, an angel stood by me this night, whom I belong, whom I serve, saying, be of good cheer, Paul. I've granted you all the sailors and all the captains that are on this ship. But they got to listen to me. You got to hear my voice. No one jumps. Anybody jumps, they're going to die. You stay in the ship, you're going to live. You're going to live. And boy, oh boy, they did. But they came to this island. They recognized it as Malta. And they started, you know, no way to steer the ship. They came and the hull ground into the coral reef outside. Hull started breaking apart, ship breaking apart. The captains and the leaders there said, everybody can swim, you go first. Everybody who can't swim, grab aboard. 276 men made it to their destiny, or they made it to the island at least, safe. God heard and answered their prayer. But the Bible says it was raining, it was nasty weather. Paul starts gathering some sticks together. They made a fire. He grabs a stick, and a snake comes out and bites him on the hand. And the islanders are looking at him going, hey, the sea didn't get him. The snake's going to get him. He must be a bad guy, right? People are going to wait around your life this year going, you're going to die soon, aren't you? Yeah. Marriage ain't going to work, is it? Yeah, you're going to lose the job. Didn't think it was going to work. They're going to come around you, Job's comforters, waiting for disaster to happen to you. Know what Paul did, though? Come on, you remember what Paul did? Paul shook off the snake in the fire. Shook off the snake in the fire. Jesus said something in the book of Matthew. He said this. He said, if you're going to preach, talking to disciples, you're going to the preaching, you're going to preach and you go to a city and they won't receive you. He said this. Just shake off the dust off your feet and go somewhere else and preach. Listen to me. Quit paying attention to whoever tells you whatever. Listen, just shake off any negative situation that comes against you this year and just fulfill the will of God. It doesn't make a difference if the engine didn't work. It doesn't make a difference if the auxiliary engine didn't come on. God has got a way to get you landed safely. He's got a way. He's got a way. So again, you're in the will of God this year. I'm just telling you, I don't know. Boy, I don't know what's going to happen, but I do know something bad is going to happen this year. Something unexpected is going to happen this year. Something I didn't quite figure out, you know, having my day timer is going to happen this year. You know, I'm like, I didn't know. Boy, when we started moving down here in 2001, July 1st, 2001 was a Sunday. You know how I know? It's going to be my last day when we were preaching at our church in Canada. Sunday. Had it planned. That was going to be my last Sunday. The next week, we're moving to come down here to Chula Vista. The next week. Little did I know that on a Friday night, on June 29th, 2001, I get a phone call about 2:45 in the middle of the night. My mom. And my mom says, Gary, I got to tell you, your dad just died to go see Jesus. He's gone. Been fighting some cancer. I went to see him a couple months before. 67 years old. Died. Wow. Bummer. Didn't expect that. Didn't anticipate that. Didn't plan for that. Now what do you do? Now, you got to start thinking about making the trip there, and you got to you're moving to another country, all that that goes on in that. Last Sunday at church, been there for 13 years. These people, you got to give the word of God to the people that have been faithful to you, and just like y'all. Wow. You got to summon courage. You got to take the stick, and you got to say, with God, all things are possible. Come on. You're going to have some things this year you didn't factor in. But I'm telling you, there's a way to land your plane. She said this to him. She said, did you ever pray? Remember that? Did you ever pray? And he said, I didn't pray. I thought the 155 guys behind me were taking care of that, right? Listen to me, though. Let me kind of reverse that. You better not be thinking anybody's praying for you. Now, there are. Because number one, me and Kimberly pray for you all the time. We pray for you all the time. So we are praying for you. And I believe God's answering my prayer that you're standing perfectly complete in all the will of God. And goodness and mercy are following you all the days of life. And other things that we pray for you. Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians 3, Colossians 1, we pray for you all the time. But listen to me. If your plane is going to land, you are going to have to incorporate prayer as a daily part of your everyday routine. In your valley or in your pit, you are required to lift up your voice and pray and seek God. The psalmist says this in Psalm 3:4, I cried to the Lord with my voice, and He heard me from His holy hill. I cried out. That's pretty passionate. In Psalm 18, verse 6, he says, In my distress, I smoked weed, I snorted a line, I got some Mad Dog 2020. That's not what he says, does it? Come on, that's what maybe you used to do, but that's not what you do now. In my distress, what does he say? I called upon the Lord, cried out to my God. He heard my voice of His temple, and my cry came before Him, even to His ears. Psalmist also says that God delivered me out of a horrible pit. Come on, guys. What's God going to do for you when you're going through your situation and you're going, man, my plane, I got bird smell, man. But I'm not going to avoid it. I got to deal with it, man. I'm losing momentum. I got no altitude. Well, did you pray? Wow. No. How about praying? How about asking God? How about 21 days that again, all the guys that are smarter than me says if you'll take a task and you'll just be after it for 21 days, you'll form a habit. How about you start forming a habit of daily Bible reading and praying so that it'll be with you not only for 21 days, not only for 2012, but for the rest of your life? Huh? Amen. How about that? Katie Couric asked him this question. Was it hard to keep your cool while this was happening? I just like this, man. This really speaks to me. Was it hard to keep your cool when all this was going on? He said this. Unequivocally, he says, I had to use my training and force calm on the situation. It wasn't hard. It just took some concentration. One more time. I had to use my training and to force calm on the situation. It wasn't hard. It just took some concentration. Two things. Training and force calm. Training and force calm. Everything you do day after day, spiritually speaking, we're talking now, has got the power to bring change and training in your life. So when adversity comes, you know exactly what to do. I've got a buddy up in Canada that's in Edmonton right now, but they were living in our town. His wife was my secretary, Linda, and his name is Anthony. And Anthony was a worker up at the plant called Cominco. He was I can't think of what he was right now. But anyway, what his job was. But what he liked to do, he started taking, when he was in Edmonton and they moved down there, he started taking, going out and trying to become a pilot. I mean, just being able to fly a plane by himself. And so he got his license and all that stuff. And Trail, where he lived, town of 8,000 people, there's not a big runway. There's one little runway, And so he got we'd go out and get the Piper Cub airplane. That's got the one little prop, out front. And he said, hey, Pastor, I got my license. You want to come with me? And I was kind of like, you have one of those hats and the stripes and stuff. And no, I don't. Ooh, well, anyway, long story short, I went with him. And so after much prayer. And so he said, show up at a certain time. And there he is. He's there waiting for me. And he checked in the plane and all that stuff with the guys that are there. And he's got a book. And he flips to the first page, and he's walking around the plane, and he's looking at everything. I mean, he's flapping flaps because the book tells him to do it. The book tells him. And he gets inside, and I'm a little bit nervous, you know, in the sense of I'm a fast-paced guy. If we're going to do something, let's do it. You know, like, I'm the guy when you get in that car and you're going to go to, let's say you're going to go to L.A., we're in the car, we don't stop, we don't eat, we don't go to the bathroom, we go. We go. Unless I've got to stop or eat or go to the bathroom. All the ladies said, yeah, I know that. Come on, all the ladies know that one. Yeah. And so I'm in the, you know, I'm in this little seat there, and he, and in the cockpit, and he's clicking, because the book, the training, told him to do it. Guys, every day, year after year, month after month, week after week, just read the manual. Amen. And whatever it says to do, just flip the switches. It's there for a reason. Apply it to your life. So when the birds come and hit, the training you've done week after week, year after year, just kicks in. It just kicks in. Just kicks in. Scripture says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25, New Living Translation, all athletes are disciplined in their training. They're disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that'll fade away. We do it for an eternal prize. Verse 27 says this, I discipline my body like an athlete. I train it to do what it should. Paul says, I train my body to do what it should. Do you know you can train your spirit to do what it should? Do you know you can train your mind to do what it should? You know, Sione's in the Marines. We got some other guys in the Navy. And, you know, Matt back here in the Navy operates a ship and all kinds of stuff. And these guys, man, whenever adversity comes, it does not matter. It does not matter what you think. What you know matters. I know I'm to do this. I know the training just goes into effect. So when I hear negativity, when I sense darkness and I just sense condemnation, I don't succumb to it. I resist it. And I take those thoughts captive and I say, my plane is going to land. I'm going to do the will of God. I'm going to be the man or the woman God's made me to be.
Amen.
He says this, I forced calm on the situation. Guys, I can't tell you how important that is. You know, again, we read it a moment ago from 2 Timothy 1. Amplified says and talks about a calm and a well-balanced and a disciplined mind and self-control. God hadn't given me you and me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Calm, well-balanced, he says, a disciplined mind and self-control. Man, I'm so glad he didn't have a sugar high on that plane that day or be a little bit nervous. And what do I do? Can I go to Teterboro? What about Teterboro? Yeah, tells him exactly where to go. And he says, can't do it. Can you turn back, you know, turn back to LaGuardia. Can't do it. And if you heard another recording, he says this. He said that. I got to land in the Hudson. And they had some other recordings, another couple different videos, and other recordings were from some other pilots where the air traffic control was talking to say, well, what did he say? What did he say? And a pilot that was in the air said, he said he's landing in the Hudson. This is what I'm going to do. This is the only option I've got. I'm going to force calm. We are going to make it. I'm going to land this plane. Phenomenal. Phenomenal. And so for you and me, I like what he says there. You know, she asked him again, and his last thought, he said, it wasn't hard, just took some concentration. Wasn't hard, just took some concentration. You know, over the book of James, it says this, and talks about things that come to us, temptations, tests, and trials. James says this, they're common to man, but with it, God's going to make a way of escape. So I don't know what's coming against you this year, but listen to me, you're not the only one going through it, and God's going to talk to you about how you can make a way of escape. And he's going to lead you back to the Word. He's going to lead you back to the things of the Spirit so you can navigate every change and come out successfully and land the airplane. Can you say amen? You're listening real good. Let me just give you a couple more thoughts here. Sully said this, Captain Sully, if I could land this airplane, he said, the passengers could get out safely if I could land it. And then Katie Kirk said this, that's a big if, right? That's a big if. And you are going to have the big if question come to you all year long. If. If. That's the same words that the devil gave to Jesus. If you're the Son of God, come on, make these stones into bread. If you're the Son of God, just jump yourself off the side of the building. God said He's going to give you angels, you know, charge, carry you up, hold you up. If! Come on. You're going to have to fight the if question, meaning where there's doubt and there's negativity and you don't quite know exactly how it's going to turn out or the world is trying to tempt you. Listen to me. He says this. Unequivocally, he says, I was sure I could do it. Listen to me. I am convinced that when you're going through the valley of the shadow of death, when it looks like nothing's going to work from you, there's going to have to be some things that you put in your heart all year long, would to God to be during these 21 days, where you start changing some things, some word intake, some spiritual and prayer intake, some thoughts you start taking captive during these 21 days that catapults you for the rest of the year and the rest of your life, so that no matter what happens, you say, I'm sure this is going to work in my life. I'm sure my marriage is going to succeed. I'm sure I can get healing in my body. I'm sure that thing that's dogged me for 5 years can be broken in my life. I am sure my plane can land. He goes on to say this. He followed up that statement. I'm sure I can land it. I was sure. He followed up with a statement that, guys, just again shocks me every time I hear it. He says this. My entire life up until that moment was a preparation to handle that particular moment. I want to tell you again. My entire life, remember a pilot in Vietnam? Remember all the years of training? Remember he was the guy who would train and when there was ever a problem with the aircraft, he was the one that would investigate all the training, he says, my life up until that moment was a preparation to handle that particular moment. Guys, there is just something that is just outstanding in your and my life when you go into an adverse situation and you are confident of the outcome. Confident. And the only way you can be confident is by preparation beforehand. Paul says this, I am confident that he that begun the good work in you is going to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody say confident.
Confidence.
Confidence in a confident person. Man, we're not talking about arrogance. We're not talking about cocky. We are just talking about bottom line, just confident that what God said in His Word, I'm going to get it. If He said I can have peace in my storm, I'm getting peace in my storm. My plane's going to land. If He said my body can be healed, I'm getting healed. I'm getting healed because He said it. My plane is going to land. If He said I can be a dad and I can train these kids even if my dad left me when I'm 5, I can do it because I'm going to get some confidence from His Word and I'm going to renew my mind and my child training is going to increase and my kids are going to love me. I'm just telling you, they're going to love me. They're going to love me, aren't they? Huh? They're not replying. I don't know. Maybe I need to work on that. God wants us, guys, prepared, the Scripture says, for every good work. Noah prepared an ark and his family was saved. The Bible says God has actually prepared a city for us and a home for us in heaven. Preparation time, somebody said, is never wasted time. But the only way you can really prepare is you got to do it ahead of time. Ahead of time. Somebody said this, is that when the house is burning, it's too late to buy fire insurance. You gotta buy fire insurance 40 years in advance for when your house catches fire in the crazy San Diego fires. You just gotta do it. You might not ever need it, but that day that the eucalyptus trees catch on fire and 77 houses burn on your block, you'd be glad you bought fire insurance. You can plead the blood. You can put out holy water, whatever. I'm all for that. But I'm saying, I'd rather just bought fire insurance and pray as well. I can prepare ahead of time because I don't know what's coming. Somebody posted something or I read something online or whatever it was. And somebody said this. Or no, excuse me, it wasn't that. It was a National Geographic thing. They said this, that every foot that a redwood tree grows, every foot a redwood tree grows, big sequoia, redwood tree grows, it grows 3 feet in diameter. Every foot up requires 3 feet of roots you don't ever see. And so why is that? Well, look at the size of those trees. Look at how big those trees are. And so for your and my life to succeed this year, listen to me, I'm not so concerned with what everybody else sees. I'm concerned with your foundation. I'm concerned with your roots. And we find out here from this guy how, against all odds, he landed a plane in the Hudson River when probably guys that had been through the same training could have crashed and burned it, thinking to go back to LaGuardia or thinking to go to Teterboro. Maybe they would have made it, but maybe they wouldn't have made it. And so for us to make lasting changes that bring success in our life for the rest of our life, we're going to have to take control of our life with the Word and by the Spirit. We're going to have to say, I'm going to be honest with myself, and if I see the birds or hear the smell, I want some change in my life, and I want it now. And I'm drawing close during these 21 days, and I want change. Jesus said this, and he tells a parable in the book of Matthew, and he says this: everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does them, I call them a wise man. They built their house on the rock. The storms came, the floods rose, the wind beat against the house, and it stood. But everybody who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, I liken them to a foolish man that built his house on the sand. The storms came, the wind blew, right? Came and beat against the house, and it fell. Hearing and doing the word breeds success. Hearing and not doing causes your plane to crash. Hear the word. Obey the word, especially during these 21 days, what God's saying for you, so that you can have forward momentum and lift consistently, not only for this year, not just a week, not short term. Again, not a candy high where you feel real good for a while and then May gray and June gloom. When we first moved here, somebody told me about all that, you know, in San Diego. The May gray comes in, the cloud, and June gloom. And the person saying it, they were depicting that very atmosphere. Listen to me. In the middle of culture, in the middle of negative situations, I believe you and I can climb over the top of them. Can you say amen? Amen. Come on, bow your head, close your eyes. This morning, I just want to ask you something real stern and strong. Give everyone the right to privacy, just with your head bowed and your eyes closed. Just by a show of hands. I'm not going to have you come up here and pray for you. Just by a show of hands right where you're at right there. That you just say, you know, Pastor Gary, there's some birds that have hit my plane. Maybe I've avoided them. Maybe I've just kind of like not want to be real with it. But I'm hearing you today. And for me to navigate my life and land my plane successfully, I've got to come face to face with some stuff. Maybe it's gossip. Maybe it's lying. Maybe it's pornography. Maybe it's some other thing. It really doesn't matter what it is. But you know, and God knows. I want my plane to land. I want my marriage to work. I want my business, my career path. I want the school that I'm involved with. I want to be successful. You wouldn't be doing it if you didn't want that. But maybe life's thrown you some curveballs and some things have affected you. And you've allowed it to affect you. But maybe even allowing it to affect you to the point of it doesn't affect you any longer. But God says, you're going to have to come clean. You're going to have to come to me and allow me to heal you, cleanse you, restore you, renew you. So your plane can go where I want it to go. And you can be successful in your life. Just right there, your head's bowed, your eyes closed. I just want, by acknowledgement, you just say, yeah, Pastor Gary, that's me. I need to make some changes this morning. Come on, just slip up your hand all over the room. No one's looking around, just me. Yeah, lots of you. 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, come on, this is your chance right now. Just you and God. 9, 10. Yeah. 11, 12. Just go ahead and put your hands down. Just put your hands down. Father, I'm just praying especially for these people that raise their hands. Work in them this year. Father, work in them even right now. Direct them during these 21 days of prayer and fasting as we seek you, you said we'd find you. We come to you with all our heart. Lord God, you want them to be successful in every area of their life, to fully fulfill your will and desire and design for their life. You want their plane to land. We speak blessing over their life. Blessing. In the name of Jesus. Can you say amen? Amen. Come on, stand up, everybody. Prayer partners are here, going to come here behind me. Every Sunday we close with having you, if you desire, God working in your life. You're not born again. You're away from God. You're not a child of God, what the Bible says. Not talking about joining church, but getting in the right relationship with God where you'd open up your heart.